Hello and welcome to Chapter Chat. We are on our third leg of House of Flame and Shadow Chapter Chat. Today we are going to be going through chapters 11 through 18. It's a big chunk.
It's a big chunk.
Yeah. I'm excited though. I'm excited to get deeper in here.
Me too.
And so we won't be spoiling anything past chapter 18. So you're safe to stay if you haven't read past that chapter. But
we are still in Act One.
We're still in Act One of Hofas. But we're moving through pretty steadily now. We're moving quickly. I like the bigger chunk of chapters that we're going to be digging into.
Yes.
So we're going to jump right in to chapter 11. And I have the first sentence ready. We open with rushing water roared through the cavern, its spray coating Bryce's face with drops so cold they were kisses of ice. And I really enjoyed this chapter. This is literally when Bryce is like, oh no, because her star's glowing brighter when it gets close to the water, so it wants her to get into the river, and she doesn't say anything to Nessa. Nessa's just like, what's going on? And she's just like, oh god, see you on the other side. She just like jumps in.
Adios amiga.
And oh my god, and Nessa's like, you reckless idiot. And then she jumps in the river and follows her down, and it's freezing, and the current is so intense, and Bryce has to like cut through the river to get to this pond on the other side where it's like calm. And she has to swim really hard to get in there, and Nessa comes up behind her and she's like, what the fuck? And Bryce is like, sorry, my star wanted me to come down here. And Nessa's like, we could have gotten down here without getting wet, and now we're freezing.
And Bryce is like, how?
How? Yeah. And she's like, as you might as well come out now. As shows himself, and Bryce is like, you've been here the whole time? Those shadows were yours.
This is like that Mrs. Doubtfire moment.
What?
When Sally Fields goes, you've been here the whole time? The whole time? To Robin Williams.
I do not remember that movie well enough. I have to rewatch that. I mean, I've seen it, but I was like young. I don't remember it enough. That's kind of what's going on over there. And then we switch back to Rune, Athalar, and Baxian. They're being tortured. They're in like puddles of their own shit and vomit and urine. They're like pushing their food to them through the shit puddle. And they have to eat it because or else they won't live.
Mm-hmm. And Rune's tongue is growing back.
Oh, God.
Can't
it's so
taste
disgusting.
Anything.
And like, this was funny though. It was like they're just in their shit and vomit. They've been being tortured, and Rune's like, we have to get out of here. Like, no shit. And like a second later, he's like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever said, but we do need to get out of here. And Athalar is like, I was stuck down here for 7 years. You have to talk to your lady if you want to get us out of here. He's like, I don't want to talk to my lady. There's got to be other ways of talking to her. She's not my lady. She's a liar. She's the hind. She's just so annoying in the beginning about the hind. Like, I can't even get over it. Like, you're literally dying.
She's your only saving grace. Like, suck it up. Swallow it. Ask for help.
Stop!
Figure out a plan with your mind words.
Yeah, and it's dark up in his head. He's like thinking that Bryce is dead, and that's what the prophecy means now. Mm-hmm. It's just depressing. But that's chapter 11. You have anything to add on that chapter?
I mean, we have just so many of these fae hieroglyphics on the wall, and I have now officially finished the book. But they showed a masked fae queen with a crown and holding objects, and that's the trove. There is a mountain with a palace on top of it with winged horses. All of this kind of gets figured out in the next chunk of chapters. Bryce sees that there's a carving, the Fae male carving a sword that resembles the one in the Crescent City Ballet, and it's just like,
yeah.
She's like, oh my gosh, it's the same one. Hell and suffering depicted, and then there's something in a language, Etin Avalon, Ego, even in Avalon, Ava.
Well,
Avalon. Okay. There I
well,
am.
Well, that's actually in the next part, because I wrote a lot of notes on that part, but that means like, so momentum, it's memento mori et in Avalon Ego. Mm. And that means, so memento mori, if anyone has forgotten, because it comes up a lot, but that means remember that you must die. And then et in Avalon Ego can be translated in a bunch of different ways, but it sounds to me like, and to Avalon I go. Mm-hmm. And Avalon is, I guess, being looked at as this beautiful land that's like heaven, that's like the afterlife, mm-hmm. which is really interesting considering that Avalon is where they are in Midgard, where the
Morvin,
what's his name, Morvin, yeah, Morvin, the dick wad king who doesn't want anything to change, so he keeps everyone in like an ancient city mm-hmm. with no electricity, all of his fae, and that's Avalon. But something's wrong with Avalon there, like the magic feels weird there, it's dark and dreary, it's not a land of plenty. Mm-mm. And yeah, that's where we're at.
Something's up over there that we can't talk about yet. I keep trying to say Avalon.
It's Avalon, I think. Avalon. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah.
When I read it and then listen to it. So there's another, I just wrote this down. Bryce is feeling like an idiot for draining her power because Ness is like, well, can't you just winnow us across? Because they have to get the river's right there, and then they have to get across. But then that's when Bryce is like, just gonna jump in. She's just feeling like an idiot for draining her power, and she's like, should I just tell her that I need to be like a battery, needs to be charged up, so she doesn't feel like a loser.
But it's funny because like they don't have words for these technological things in Rhysand land, so she's like GPS, and they're like, huh? And battery. Mm-hmm. It's just not something they say, so it's funny. Do you want to do chapter 12? I have the opening sentence if you want me to.
Yes.
Okay. So chapter 12 is actually where she says you've been here the whole time. That's the opening sentence.
Yeah. So this is a little bit of a, they're exchanging some things about each other's world, and Asriel's like, stop it, to Nesta. But then they just keep exchanging because Bryce, she's like, she looks over at Az, and he doesn't have pointed ears.
Yeah.
And so she asks like, well, do you have veneer in this world? And they're like, what is veneer? They're like, oh, any magical creature. And
they're like, every time she says a creature name, they're like, what? There's so many.
Well, I mean, Rhysandland has so many creature names. They've got the weaver, but they don't
call them anything. They're like fae and lesser fae and humans. They don't have like mare and archangels and angels and like all these different vampires, like House of Flame and Shadow, sorcerers. Like, they don't have that.
Different class systems. They don't have it. Yeah. But they do have, she learns of that there is difference between high fae and lesser fae, and that they'd add the high to make themselves feel more powerful or more important against the other lesser fae. And then Bryce learns of the Illyrians, like what Asriel is.
Well, it's weird how, I mean, it's not weird. Nesta's kind of roasting him. She's like, he's just Illyrian. She's like, Rhysand is also Illyrian. And they're like, and Nesta's like, half. And Az is like, ahem, ahem. And Nesta's like, and he has enough arrogance combined from both sides. And Az is like,
and Nesta, well, Nesta's like, I think this is later in, I think, these chapters, but she's like, well, technically I'm High Fae, but I was made. Was that, did that happen in this chapter?
That has happened, I think. Yeah.
In these chapters. Yeah.
And she used to be human, she tells Bryce. Yeah, and Bryce is like, whatever that means, Woody, how can she be made into a fae?
Well, Bryce and her, like, she feels a little, because she's like, well, I'm half human. So they do have
that in common.
Like, yeah, in common. Okay, so they're still walking through these caves, and Asriel thinks that the Midengard worm made the tunnels.
Right, and still could use them as a mode of transport.
Yes. Do you think the Midengard worm made the tunnels? Because there's something that happens later.
Well, I think that he could have maybe initially caused a tunnel, but maybe like she modeled the tunnels after the Midengard worm tunnels. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, that's right. So we've got some star sword and dagger bits here because when Ash shows up, he has the star sword strapped to his back. And they are talking to each other and they're making Asriel twitch. And Ness is like, this is weird. Asriel never does this. He doesn't twitch.
And he's very uncomfortable.
Yes. Yeah. Bryce like trips and falls. I don't remember how this all happens.
So they're walking across the river in an area where they could walk. And Az is talking about the Midengard worm and how he might use these for transport. And she's like, how do you know that? And he's just like, because. Blah, blah, blah. And then Bryce falls and starts bleeding and smearing her blood on rocks and shit. Yes. Because she has it in her brain now that her big plan is going to be to attract the worm and use it as a distraction to escape from Asriel and Nesta.
Okay, when all this went down, did you figure this out? Because I didn't figure this out.
I was so suspicious.
Really?
Because she's so annoying like that. She's like, maybe my magic is just weird down here. I mean, I wasn't 100% that she was tricking them, but I was suspicious because she was being so weird. And Asriel's like, her knee healed. And she's like, well, it may be like because like my star and how it's glowing, like my hands just aren't, they're just not healing. I don't know. And Nesta's like, maybe something in the water.
It's so frustrating because during this time, too, she tells them of Danica and how she died trying to find out the truth of the Asteri, and Bryce still doesn't know what she found out. So,
yeah, she's explaining the horn, right?
No, not yet. I think still trying to figure out the swords. I wrote a whole little thing down here because I think Asriel is explaining some of the swords. So the star sword, which is named Gwydion, is made with Iridian. The dagger,
yeah, I wrote
truth
that down
teller,
too.
Is made with Iridian.
They're both made with that. And that is a fallen meteorite. It's black metal. Mm.
Yeah, and Gwydion blazes with light. Truth teller is shown with darkness. They are opposites.
There's also a quick comment that she's basically using it to distract them because she doesn't want to tell them any more stuff. And she's like, oh, as your burns, my brother was also abused by my father, and kind of trying to change the subject and gain some trust and empathy through discussing like how they relate to each other. And so she kind of talks about Rune, and Nesta says she's sorry for her brother's suffering. Mm-hmm. And they have like a little moment where Bryce is like, I'll make sure he pays for it someday. My sire pays for it. Oh, and Nesta's like, good. And that's when we also learn about how Nesta slayed Lanthus with Ataraxia. Mm-hmm. And Bryce knows what Ataraxia means. It means inner peace. And Nesta's like, yeah, Lanthus thought it was funny. And she's like, I don't think it's funny. I'm like, that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Also, we learned that Crescent City 3 is set 7 months after Silver Flames.
Yes. Yes. She says she slew him 7 months ago. And then Nesta asks about the eight-pointed star. Mm-hmm. Bryce tells her it's the symbol of the Starborn, and the magic like scarred her when it appeared in her. And she's like, so you have like an actual star inside you? Price is like, it's starlight. So it's not like a real gas star, but it's starlight. And Ness is like, so you said the Asteri also have stars? What's the difference between you and them? And that was a really interesting conversation, because the Asteri claim to have that their power comes from holy stars. But the way that they can physically use them as tools of destruction really makes Bryce second guess that whole claim, and that maybe they were just trying to be impressive and get people to follow them, just like kings in the olden days where they were like, I was divinely chosen by God to rule over you. Like the same sort of idea where they're like playing on the idea of religion, that they're meant to rule over them to justify their rule. And yeah, she said, what kind of sword is that anyway? And Nessa says, one that can kill the unkillable.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We love Ataraxia.
How did she get Ataraxia again?
So she made it. She forged Ataraxia herself at the blacksmith. Forged those three weapons and her magic went into them. And
which three weapons?
So she formed basically a new trove. There's a dagger, and then there's the sword. I think there's two swords and the dagger. I can't remember what the third one is, but she has three new weapons that are made, and they're really powerful, and the blacksmith didn't want to touch them. He was like, these are cursed, and he brought them up to Rhysand, and Rhysand swirled them around, and he was like, nobody touch those. And then they touched them. And now she wields Ataraxia. Like, I need them.
Yeah. So we're in chapter 13. I have the first
The first sentence.
Nice. It took 5 hours for the Viper Queen to deign to meet Ethan.
Oh my God. I hate this scene where Ethan's so dumb.
This is giving Amarantha vibes.
It's giving Faye vibes in like the Mortal Instruments when like they're not specific and the person's just like, okay, cool. But like it's giving like when you make a deal and you don't specify and then it comes back to bite you in the ass. And I feel like we all knew, like, what are you doing? Don't just say yes. Ask for more specifics. He makes this dumb deal to fight in private in exchange for his and Therian and like the crew's freedom. But he doesn't specify like if he's to come out,
who he's going to fight.
Like how long the fight is going to be. Is it going to be to the death? Like, he's so annoying. He's like, I don't know if it's the athlete in me, but I just want to do something. Like, I want to stop asking questions and talking about the hind.
Yeah, because at first, like we learned in the beginning of the chapter that Sabine is fully healed and Amelie has been feeding her first light, so now she's fine. And that if Sigrid had killed Sabine, it would have been suicide for Sigrid, because like the. He was like, oh, why didn't she just kill her? Wait, no. Like, if she would have killed her this way, like, she wouldn't have been alpha or anything like that. At least when he makes his offer, he does negotiate for them all to leave with Therian. So he's smart about that.
It's just like, it's really annoying, this whole thing with Ethan, because I feel like it's so obvious that he's going to be the alpha. And I'm like, why? Yeah. Are you so dumb. He's in such denial. He's like searching for literally like any other person who could be the alpha. This wolf has literally been in a tank her entire life. She knows nothing about the pack and what it needs and the people in it. And Sabine's a raging asshole. I'm just like, the whole time I was like, you're obviously the alpha. Like, you're going to be the alpha. Stop this nonsense. He hyper fixates on literally like anyone else that could possibly be the alpha, and he's like, not me, I'm just Ethan. Like, literally that's the vibe he's giving the whole book. Like, I'm just Ethan.
I'm some ball player. I can't do this.
Oh my God, I wanted to shake him and then sit him down and lecture him. Like, sometimes with great power comes great responsibility, Ethan.
Okay, so we get this scene with Lydia and Pollux. This is like ingrained into my mind. I don't know why all the stuff with Lydia, I just remember. So Lydia is trying to figure, you know, she has her plan in place. She's trying to get like Rune, Braxian, and Hunt out of the dungeons and before Pollux kills them, and she's trying to so for her plan to take place, because she just met up with the Teen Wolf crew, she's back now at the castle and she's sitting in her room and she fakes her period by taking a potion to make it come early. And this is just gross. Okay. Yeah. She has to go to an event. Like that night, they're going to an event for the Asteri. Like Pollux is in the shower. She's like sitting on her vanity. She's like, make my excuses. I don't want to go. Pollux comes out of the shower. He's full naked. And he's like, take a tonic, and smells her. And he's like, you're early. Because he doesn't like to fuck her when she's bleeding.
So gross.
Gross.
He is so nasty. Fucking hate
him. He's nasty. He like stands in front of her and like, and she's like, I have to look at his face because his dick is like right in front of me. And then he like comes back, like grabs her on the neck and like kisses her. And then I think he like, you know, he proceeds to get hard and pumps his dick. Gross. He leaves the room all dressed up. She's in bed. And we get this like dumb line. She's like, what a beautiful exterior for such a terrible or ugly person. Something like that
song, Ugly Heart by GRL.
Yes. She's left alone. She goes to the bathroom and she opens up her tampons because Pollux would never open up her tampons.
This is the perfect hiding spot.
Yeah. And like, even though they've been together for, I don't know, 10 years or so, she's like, I like being on my period because at that point he goes and messes around with somebody else. So I don't have to deal with him. Ew. I'm like, ugh. She grabs a burner phone. She calls the agency and asks them to assemble everyone. And they said, we don't have anyone left. Like after Agent,
Cormac,
whatever his name is,
he's like Cormac. Silverbow or something.
He passed away. A lot of people were like, "Nah, I'm out of here." And then she's like, "Well, we need people." Okay, so she makes a call, breaks up the phone, throws it out the window, out of the castle.
Yeah. That's chapter 13, right?
Yeah, we go back to Bryce. Nesta tells her the tattoo she had, but now it's gone with the 8-pointed star. And then Bryce goes, "Obviously, we're destined to be best friends."
Of course she does.
Yeah, and at the very end of the chapter, the worm comes.
Yeah, the first sentence of chapter 14 is the Midengard worm had arrived at last, precisely according to Bryce's plan. Shut up. Yeah, so Bryce was pretending that she wasn't healing, and she runs away and leaves Nesta and Azriel to fight the fucking worm. And then she starts to feel bad. It's like, oh, crap. I don't hear anything. Maybe I need to help them. So she runs back. And they played a trick right back on her. And Nesta's like pretending to be dead.
I love that they used her. I feel like they used her antics on
back on her. Yeah,
back on her.
Nesta was like, "Fuck you." Azriel was so mad.
Azriel was just like, because I feel like this whole time Nesta just wants Bryce to work with her, and Azriel just he just knows, like, she's just gonna do everything that she can to get
well,
away.
Az is so well versed with prisoners.
Yeah. Nesta's giving her the benefit of the doubt.
Yes. And then Ness is getting so annoyed every time Bryce makes her look bad by being an asshole and pulling some shit
and like proving
Ness.
Her right.
Yeah. Proving Azriel right. Like, Bryce is like, look, let's run. Let's go. And Ness was like, no fucking way. We are deleting this worm from existence. We're not letting this thing stay in our world. It's too dangerous. Mm-hmm. Bryce is like, but you can't. It's too big. Like, we're not going to be able to murder it or whatever. And Ness is like, no, bitch. We stay here. We fight. Nesta ends up putting on the mask to destroy the Midengard worm. And I was like, it was a badass scene, but also I was scared for Nesta because we know every time she puts on that mask, it's really hard for her to get it off. And it really like takes over her in a scary way where it's like it has a mind of its own and it doesn't want to come off of her. It wants to like use her and use her power to make itself stronger. So she takes the corpse of like another giant beast, brings it back to life, and has it basically eat the Midengard worm and help them out in murdering it. And Bryce is watching this like, what the fuck is going on?
And Azriel's like, shut up. And
Azriel's like, gags her.
He's like, don't
use. And then like, hides her.
Yeah, he's like, don't use the mask, Nessa. Don't use it. She's like, I'm using it. I just get like Jim Carrey in the mask.
Oh my God, yes, it is like that.
It is. That's in my mind, it looks like the wooden mask.
Her head
that's
spin
what it looks
around
like.
And be like oh my God. So then she can't take it off. And Az has to literally talk her down by like saying all the names of her loved ones and then like talking about Cassian, and then she can finally take it off. And
okay.
Yeah.
I wrote down that Nesta is the Hulk and has to be talked down to take the mask
Sun's
off.
Sun's getting real
Sun's
low.
Sun's getting low. Sun's getting low. The mask, by the way, whispers to Bryce, mortal must die. And she says it feels like death, like the
like
bone
quarter. Death itself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the mask is death. And yeah, and then Nesta takes it off and she's like, what? That's not a big deal.
He had to go through every single person.
Yeah.
And then even
Emery
with
and
even
Gwen.
Her nephew.
Yeah. Yeah. And Nyx. Mm-hmm. And that's when it drops after Nyx.
There's like a moment like Az comforts Nesta. And then she's like, she tells Bryce to keep walking. Have you seen some of the stuff? Jasmine told me about this, that people are shipping Azriel and Bryce.
I'm not surprised, but no.
Me either.
That's not a thing.
No, I don't like it.
I mean, it's not going to be a thing. Az already has like 50 ships. And
he's got too many
and
women.
And honestly, at this point, I feel like it has to be Elaine because there's the trio of them and the trio of women. And it feels like it. Erd has fated it to be.
This is a huge thing on TikTok. Haha, people were so convinced, Sophie says.
Why? No. She already has a mate. Sarah's made it pretty clear that Hunt is her endgame.
Yeah. Yeah. She's not going to do something tricky like she's done before.
No.
And that's a whole other. Like, Azriel is Illyrian. The only, like, no one can birth his babies, though. Like, she, like that's,
Elaine,
the, that's the issue.
Elaine has is made, and I bet there's a way that she could.
I mean, yes, but like Feyre's made too, but the only way she could do it is because she can shift her body into Illyrian.
This whole thing with Feyre was so dumb because she has the literal power to shift and they were just afraid of hurting the baby. So everyone else now can learn and shift themselves before getting anywhere near pregnant. Like it was.
But can they? They don't have all the kernels of power that Feyre has.
But Feyre has the power. So I bet she could even do something to help them shift. You know what I mean? She's so powerful. Like,
so she's gonna be like a midwife to.
Yes. She could be like Hermione, like morphing the other people's faces. Like, it's just The thing is, after reading Silver Flames, it feels so strong that these three men are fated to be with these three women. And I know Az is also being shipped with, I think, Gwen.
Yeah.
And there was also like a hint of him with someone else, maybe. I feel like there's just so many because Az is single. So everyone's like, oh my God. But as much as I don't really like Elaine, we don't really know her. And she needs her own story.
But she already has a mate.
Oh, yeah, Lucien. That's what I was forgetting about. Yeah. Well, she hates Lucien. The thing is that mates aren't always meant to be. Mates don't always work out. And she is like the red herring case with her mate. He has red hair.
I forgot. Nesta fixed her own system in Feyre's, but didn't fix Elaine's. I forgot about that. Because that's right. Nesta... Because she's like, oh, I got to fix myself in case I get pregnant with Cassian's babies.
Yeah. Yeah. But I feel like this is an easy fix. And I was so annoyed the whole time with Feyre. I was like, how could you guys not have thought about this? This is so fucking stupid.
They said that to themselves.
I know. But it was just like, you literally have the power to shift your body. Anyway. Okay, the next chapter, 15, the first sentence is, it took Bryce hours to stop shaking. I'm just going to read the next one. To chase the cold, deadly wind from her skin, to stop hearing the whispering of her death, the death of all things. So, yeah. And, okay, she never encountered anything like the mask, and Nesta seemed at its mercy. Yeah, and brought back to herself by Az's list of people. Through love, all is possible. even getting free of death masks. In this chapter, I have notes about Rune Nesta, first. So
I wrote down that Nesta and Az reveal that Rhys set up the whole thing for Bryce to go below to the Great and follow her.
Oh yeah,
and that Azriel made the cave in.
Yeah, like they're one step ahead of her, two steps ahead. Just so she knows. They're just like, we're done with your fucking bullshit. Just so you know, we planned this entire thing. You are not that clever. We're also clever.
I don't know. I don't have anything written down. I don't have anything written down for Rune at the beginning.
So yeah, this is the chapter where Rune tells Lydia that she's dead to him. And I was like, Rune, you sound like such a little bitch. That's harsh, man. And she tells him that Regulus has all 1,000 mystics looking for Bryce, and that means that Regulus is very, very scared of Bryce. And that's about, I think, all with them. And then we get the scene where like Az charges up Bryce so that she can winnow them across a chasm. And yeah. And she says,
that's chapter 16.
Oh, it is? Fuck. Okay, I meshed them together. Oh, yeah. The first sentence is, too narrow for me to fly, Azriel said, assessing the seemingly endless chasm between them and the rest of the tunnel. Bryce has to winnow them, and she gets charged up. And it's really interesting because the charge is so much more powerful because it's the same brand of magic. It feels like 100 proof
from Hunt?
Liquor. It's more powerful than from Hunt when it's from Az, because his magic from her
That's
home
right.
magic. Yeah, it's her same brand of magic. Yeah. And it feels so pure. And she gets really supercharged from it.
I'm sorry. I just made a hole in my head how she's like Edward. And she's like, you're like Azriel's magic is like her heroine.
No, it's just, it's like her incest, honestly. This is where you were shipping her. I think, chapter 16, this was the only thing I wrote down as a note for chapter 16 because I found it hilarious. Nesta pulls out Bryce's phone and she's like, the next time we stop, can you please explain to us what this is for? Because it's driving us crazy trying to figure out what it does. And there's like a picture of Hunt in the background of her phone.
And she's like, is this your mate?
I thought that was so cute, all of that.
It was.
Good. I forgot to write it down, but I'm like, I know Christine wrote this down.
Oh, yes.
I don't have chapter 17 here because I think I just wrote them all together.
Okay, hold up. But before that, I just want to say Nesta also says there's a portrait hidden inside its encasing of you and three females.
I love it. Like, Nesta is really feeling a kinship to Bryce, as annoyed as she is with her. She's like, we've got the star thing. She's got like her three best friends. Like, we have my three best friends. Like, her mate kind of looks like mine. Like, I feel like she's got a lot of parallels with her. She's like begrudgingly like, I need to get as much information out of her as possible because this surely means something. But yeah, she said she'd give her the phone if she winnowed her across, if she safely winnowed them across the chasm.
And she does.
Yeah, she's like, hit the star. How much power?
She's like, so it's like a laser?
And they're like, what's laser?
I love how they're just like, they go with it. They're like, what?
Nesta is talking about the cauldron because it's on the wall. And she's like, you guys don't, you don't have the cauldron
in Midgard?
All life came from it. The mother poured it into this world and from it life blossomed. And Bryce is like us being like, a bathtub gave you life.
Bathtub gave you life.
She talks about how she went in the cauldron and she was made.
Bryce is like, made? You said that my tattoo was made. It is a mystery to us. Nesta said you'd need to have had ink made by the cauldron in this world for it to be so.
Yeah.
And that the horn had come from Resandland.
So there's a bonus scene that I skimmed through. There's a bonus scene of when she got the tattoo. And Danica basically brought like powder that she said was from the wolves and told the tattoo artist to mix it with the ink.
The powder.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause she had powdered up the horn so that it could go into the ink in her back.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like literally tattooed into her back. And the tattoo artist is like, this could get it infected or something. And she's like, just do it. It's good stuff from the wolves. And Danica, I don't know how high Danica is, but she got them both really high and drunk. And I feel like now in retrospect, maybe Danica wasn't really messed up. She was just acting like she was because she had a really important mission to get this into her friends back. But yeah, so I read that scene. It's not the best bonus scene. The best one so far is the one with Ember, her parents, and Randall. Highly recommend reading that one.
I want to read that.
I have one more to read.
I feel like there was a lot in this chapter. I didn't really write it down.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now because we kind of know a lot of this. That's why.
Yeah.
It's like they're exchanging a lot of information about the gods in these worlds. So,
which I did write down. Yeah. I have a whole thing. I can go through it.
I can read the sentence right here. Like, Solus is our sun god, Sathona his mate and the earth goddess, Luna is his sister. Like, all these gods, I feel like the most important ones are Sathona and Erd. Erd guides us all. She's the weaver of fate and destiny, and I think she's the reason I'm here. And Nesta says, the fae say the cauldron holds our fates. Maybe it became this Erd, which is really interesting. Yeah.
And they also talk about when souls die. And Midgard, you either go to the Bone Quarter, the Quiet Realms, the Underking, the Sailings, or get their souls ground into Second Light. In Perinthian, you be with the Mother in joy. It's very different.
Yeah.
So then this is where we get into the conversation about what happened to Danica or where Bryce is going. And she goes, and I think she tells him Danica went to the Underking in exchange for Bryce's soul. And she doesn't know where she will go because she gave her soul in exchange for Danica. And then after that, Nesta gives back Bryce's phone and asks, how does this work?
Yeah. Okay. There's also another interesting sentence that Bryce says. She says, I always wondered what happened to the gods of the original worlds when their people crossed into Midgard. Did they follow them? Did I bring Erd or Luna or any of them with me? Are they here? Or am I alone stranded in your world with no gods to call my own? And it is really interesting how the gods do seem to be like overarching across the universe and not just in their own worlds. You know what I mean? They seem to stretch across everything.
Are we on the same planet in different multiverses that she's opening up to? Or is this an entire star system and she's just opening portals to different planets within the same system?
I think it's opening portals to different planets within the same system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that because of like the traveling, going through the different planets, that's how the gods and like religion or moved through and why they have the same one.
Yeah. It's really interesting because like I have to reread Throne of Glass. I know I keep saying this, but like there are old gods in Throne of Glass and there are new gods in Throne of Glass. And I'm wondering how those connect as well, because some of them are referenced in this book too. It's all very fascinating. We'll get to it. This is also a chapter where Therian has a conversation with Ariadne. Ariadne randomly just like kind of disappears in this book. Like after this chapter, we just don't see her anymore. Therian thinks that she's going to be the one that the Viper Queen has fight Ethan. And so Therian's like, do not kill Ethan. Like he's important. He's important to me. Don't kill him. And basically she just disappears after that.
Yeah, for the rest of the book.
Oh, and also Bryce teaches them about cameras. Mm-hmm. And songs on her phone.
Songs.
Oh my God. Ness is like 1,000 songs.
So you just record them all.
She's like, you recorded all that music. And it's like, because that's how they have to do it in Rysandland. Like, literally, Cassian had to go with the recorder and record the symphony playing all of the music live. And he had to make the symphony play it again after they had played it the previous night.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can you re-say that? What?
Yeah, I'm just talking about, remember that gift that Cassian gives her in House of Silver Flames for Christmas? It plays music. And she loves that music so much. And he went back the night after the ball and was like, hey, orchestra, can you please play all that again so I can record it and give her this gift? Yeah.
I forgot about that. That's so cute.
Yeah, it was very, very cute. Mm. All right. So this is at the end of this chapter. They come across the door in the like this wall with the star on it and the bottom triangle.
This big metal door. Yeah,
and the bottom triangle slides open for Bryce, because she is starborn.
Do we learn what the significance of the eight-pointed star? I don't remember.
I mean, it's the symbol of the starborn, but like that's all we really know. It's like that magic leaves that symbol. You know, it's kind of reminiscent of, you know, in the Mortal Instruments, how the Herondale line has that little star birthmark.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 That makes sense.
Yeah, it's a mark of the magic. All right, 17.
Yeah, why? I don't have literally. 17
why
down.
Don't I either? Okay, the first sentence says only dry ancient darkness waited beyond the star door. I think maybe we were so taken by what was going on, like there was so much to think about.
I think this is what I think I have written down. I said metal door with eight pointed star. Depicts two females running parallel to it. Bryce and Nesta touch the door and it opens the longest tip of the star to the triangle shaped door.
Wait, there's two females running parallel to it?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it could be. Okay.
They it could go be through. The sisters.
Yes.
Yeah. But they are. But they could be the sisters.
Sisters. They go through, it shuts behind them, and they're teleported to the prison. And that is where Nesta last saw the 8 pointed star.
And that's where the harp was in Silver Flames.
Yes. Yes.
And if you remember with the harp, when she was in that room, she was like sucked into this memory where like tons of Fae and their children were screaming for help and they got sealed out.
Wait, what?
In a court of Silver Flames. When Nesta gets stuck in that room, she is sucked into, like, she just hears all these Fae screaming for help.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And their children. Oh. And it's this story. It's the how they were sealed out.
They let Bryce go in because it's really creepy in there. And the power feels very ancient. And there's lots of wards.
And then we go to Ethan. That's why we didn't write this down.
Like, this is when we learn that he has to fight Sigrid. And he's like, I can't fight Sigrid. She's the alpha. And I'm like, you're obviously going to fight her and win. And you are the alpha. Like, get it through your head.
I feel so bad for Sigrid, even though she's kind of annoying in the little bit of time that we get to know her. She's been trapped for ages in a coffin with the astronomer.
I wanted to feel bad for her, and then she was like so annoying that I don't feel bad for her.
Yeah, she's kind of bitchy.
She's so mean. Mm-hmm. And like, she's like very Gemini. Like, one second she's like, thank you. And then she's like, I hate you. Az thinks that they should get Rhysand, that they should explore this cavern.
It's funny because, okay, so they have been walking for days, by the way. They've been walking for days in these caves. And finally they get like teleported to the fucking prison, which they can get teleported anywhere else. I just don't understand.
Wait, what do you mean?
So because they constantly visit this prison in the other books, but yet they had to go in this secret special way to get to the prison where they've been before. No,
so I think a lot of these caverns lead to this room. It's at the bottom of...
Yeah, okay. You can't necessarily get to it from, like, the island itself, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think it's because of the Starborn that they got into the room at all.
Yeah, because Az goes, like, I think Nessa is like, we have been led here. He's like, no, she's been led here.
This is when we have our Star Wars moment. Oh, wait, it's before the Star Wars. Yeah, no, it is. It's the Star Wars moment. Okay, it's the Princess Leia, like, hope is lost and whatever the fuck she says. And, but this time.
You're talking about, like.
It's Celine.
Obi-Wan.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
help me.
You're our last hope or whatever.
Your only hope.
Yeah. The visual is giving that. So she walks into this room and this video that like a hologram starts playing from Celine, who they saw on the wall. And Celine looks like Rhysand's sister, which is interesting. So Celine is the daughter, one of the daughters of Theia. There's Celine and there's Harper. And Celine's the one that leaves this big message. Okay. Now, Sarah went ahead and used this as an opportunity to totally fuck with all of our heads, because for so long we've been like, Amarin was an Asteri, right? And Amarin was in the prison, and Amarin has silver eyes, and she makes this Doglin that we see that Theia had to serve look exactly like Amarin, so that we'd all flip out. Because Amarin was apparently the terrible bitch queen Asteri in this land.
And I did not think this.
Are you kidding? Oh my God. I was losing my mind. This. I was like, oh my fucking God.
So she has short dark hair and blood red lips, and she looks just like they describe Amryn. And I know Sarah did this on purpose because we've been theorizing for years about Amryn, and we're all like, she's an Asteri. And then she goes and does this stupid shit where she makes us think for one chapter that Amryn is the motherfucking Daglin in the fucking memory of Celine. That because she also sets it up with the teeth, because Amryn specifically mentions when she's talking about the drop, she's like, oh, the teeth. And then in this scene,
tithe.
Oh, yeah, the tithe. Sorry. In this scene, they have to pay the tithe. And it's just like drawing all these parallels that are supporting the idea that this is Amryn. And then it's just a stupid other Daglin that looks just like Amryn that we meet in like 2 seconds.
At the end of Act One. I'm sorry you went through all of that. I did not.
I couldn't wait for you to get to that part because I was like freaking out. And then like the next chapter, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's it. We learn about like,
there's some stuff. Some we learn stuff. About.
Yeah. Lots of stuff.
So, yeah, they're on the Misty Isle where the prison is. They reach the 8-point star where she said the harp was once there. She tells her what the harp does, that if you string it, it'll take you to wherever you need to go. Then like, she goes through the wards because there's like wards all around that you can't really pass through. It's giving like Goblet of Fire.
It is the age line.
The age ring. And she's like, and then she sets another trap. She's like, oh, look over there. And then Asla, she goes, ha ha.
She's so stupid. That was so dumb.
Go into the wards.
And Nessa just walks out there. She's like, I'm watching this with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Nessa and Bryce watched a history of Thea from the point of view of Celine. Mm-hmm. And that Celine looks like Rhys's sister. Yep. And Thea looks like, I didn't write it down.
Well, okay.
Lydia?
No. They don't say anything about Thea. But what they do say is Fionn, Thea's lover, looks like Azriel or something. Or is related to what? Azriel. Yeah, there's like a thread. Pelleas? I have Fionn written.
Finn.
Finn.
That doesn't happen yet. We stop right before all we get to that.
Okay. Well, there's a connection. Az also has Starborn blood in him. That's why he is Truth Teller.
Are we on chapter 18 now?
Yes.
Oh, we missed a whole section.
There's so much dropped in this. Like so God much history.
Well, we shift back to Rune and Baxian.
We do.
And Hunt. And they make a dumb decision. They're like, it's not that
dumb. Wait, is this when they bite off Rune's hand?
This is the beginning of biting off Rune's hand.
Oh my God. This was horrifying.
I don't remember why they needed that leverage or that
well,
space.
Okay, there was a weapon on the ground that he could reach if he had a little more leverage. Like if he had a little more room. So he's like, if you bite off my hand, this hand won't be attached and I'll be able to reach it. And it's so disgusting. And I think he's like, Baxian's like, I'll do it. Hunt, you don't have to do it. I'll bite it off. And we're all just like, ew.
Yeah. So then we pop back. This is the beginning of Celine telling us the history. Thea and her father once showed Celine their history, mind to mind. And I said, oh, like Rhys, like Dimadi powers. 5,000 of the High Fae were slaves to the Daglin, and countless ancestors tried to kill them. We see a scene of the tithe, and what we know is Vesperus taking a seed of power. And at the very end of this chapter, we find out from Pollux that Harpy is alive.
Oh my God, that was so annoying. Okay, so we missed the part then. Or did we just know that they're fixing the Harpy, I think? They're trying to fix him?
Yeah. We'll probably finish, because 19's like the huge dump of history.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then up to, I think, chapter 25 is then the end of Act 1.
Okay.
And then Act 1 goes like straight into Act 2.
All right, so next week we'll do 19 through 25.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you all so much for digging in with us. If you have anything to add or any theories or overarching thoughts, we'd love to hear it. If you want to send us an email, thoseforkingfangirls@gmail.com, we would be thrilled to share any of your intense theories on the show. If you're not already, we'd really appreciate it if you were following the podcast for free in your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. If you don't know, we do Chapter Chat every Thursday, and we have our main show every Friday where we talk about pop culture, fandom, all sorts of, you know, being a nerd and being an adult things. You can follow us on Instagram at Those Forking Fangirls. We're on TikTok at Those Forking Fangirls. All of our main show episodes are on YouTube, so you can watch the show if you prefer to watch it. YouTube.com/@Those Forking Fangirls.
We don't have Chapter Chat going up anymore on YouTube.
Yeah, but we do have the first Chapter Chat if you want to watch it on YouTube. And I was going to say, we have a Patreon if you want the show ad-free. That is available at our first tier on Patreon, Team Jacob, $5 level and up. Also, at that level, you get our extra bonus show every week called Fangirl Tea Time. It's at the end of the main show. It's called Those Forking Fangirls XL, the version that you get through the Patreon, where you get the extra show and it's ad-free. And you can come to all these recordings and put your two cents in as we're live. So that's really fun. We love our community here. And we have two other tiers with lots of fun perks. Check it out. Link is in the show notes. We will see you all next week. I'm Christine.
I'm Natasha.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.